Hello everyone, so good morning, welcome to the second day of SCU 2014. And today, so we will speak about Windows Azure Pack authentication for cloud. So we will see all different ways that we could use to authenticate to Windows Azure Pack. So I'm Christopher Kjort, I'm with Alexander Verkinderen, and we will present this topic for today. So what's all about? So first of all, we will start with an introduction about WAP to be sure that everybody is aligned. So what is Windows Azure Pack? What is the Cloud OS concept behind this? And after that, we will take a look to the out-of-the-box authentication process. So we'll explain how it does it work. We will do a brief introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory also. We'll talk about synchronization, so the new tool Azure Active Directory Synchronization Services. We will also do a cool demo about the multi-factor authentication, so you will see how it works, what we can do with it, how it's easy to put in place. We will also talk about ADFS, so you will see what we can do with ADFS, what challenge, what we could cover about it with WAP, and what we can do. And also, last but not least, we will work with ADFS and an external identity provider. So we will do also a demo, and you will see how we could create a trust between ADFS, an external identity provider, and use all this for your application, any web application, or here in this case, Windows Azure Pack Portal.
Thank you, Christopher. Before we start with the introduction, I would like to ask a question in the room. Who of you has already used the Windows Azure Pack? Okay, quite a few people. Nice. So I'm not going to deep dive on the Windows Azure Pack then. Just to give you a short introduction, the idea behind the Cloud OS version vision is to give you one consistent platform across Windows Azure, being it on or the service provider, or in your on-premise environment. So it shouldn't matter for your end users if they consume a database or if they consume a virtual machine. It shouldn't matter for them if the virtual machine is running on Azure, on-premise, or with a service provider. So it's one consistent platform. And the idea today is not to deep dive on the different Windows Azure Pack features and possibilities and all what you can do with it. But the idea today is to focus on the authentication process in the Windows Azure Pack. And we will show you today, together with Christopher, how you can change the Windows Azure Pack out-of-the-box authentication to use, for example, multi-factor authentication. So that's the focus of today. And we're going to focus on the tenant portal. So the Windows Azure Pack portal has two portals, the administration portal, where you manage basically your infrastructure, where you manage the cloud and compute resources. And then you have the tenant portal. The tenant portal has the same look and feel as the public Azure portal that you probably already know today. And in the tenant portal, you can have different ways of authentication, and that's what we're going to discuss today. So those are the different authentication methods that we will show you today. First of all, the default out-of-the-box Windows Azure Pack authentication process. Out-of-the-box, the Windows Azure Pack is basically just a .NET repository. So when you create a new user account in a Windows Azure Pack, that account information will be saved and stored in a SQL database. This means that you need to maintain a different set of credentials than your Active Directory on-premise account. So you need to maintain two sets or three sets of credentials. So we don't want to use that. So we will show you today how you can use, for example, Microsoft Azure Active Directory. We will show you how you can use multi-factor authentication together with Microsoft Azure Active Directory. We will show you as well today how you can connect your on-premise ADFS to use Active Directory as an authentication method. And last but not least, we're going to connect the on-premise ADFS to Azure ACS that will then be connected to a third-party identity provider like Facebook, Twitter, Google, and so on. So that's the goal of today, to show you those five different authentication methods. But let's start first with the out-of-the-box authentication process. The out-of-the-box authentication process is just a default provisioning. So you need to create those users manually, and they are not being synced from another repository. So they are not being synced from your on-premise Active Directory. So like I said before, this means that you need to maintain two sets of credentials. So let's have a look how that is done.
Still need to open it.
Yeah?
We still need to open it. No.
So this is the administration portal of Windows Azure Pack. That is now loading. And we will now provision a user manually. And we will then show you in a SQL database where that information has been stored or saved. So in user accounts, I will now provision a new user.
So really the idea here, it's when you subscribe, it's like when you subscribe to a new website, you need to create a new account, a new login with a new password that we need to keep to maintain. And here, the idea, it will show you how you will do that, where the data are stored, so in the SQL DB. And after that, we will show you different way to use another authentication process.
And I will also immediately assign a plan to that user. So that means that when my user is going to connect to the tenant portal, he will be able to immediately consume some SQL databases. So that user has now been provisioned. Okay, it's active. I will now go to the tenant portal. So this is the out-of-the-box tenant portal with the out-of-the-box authentication process.
As you could already see in the bar, in the address bar, the URL is now as portalauth.msCloudExpert.eu. So when you go to portal, directly you are redirected to the default authentication portal that are provided out of the box with Windows Azure Pack.
And now we will see that, because it's the first time the user has connected, we will see a welcome screen. We can just skip the welcome screen, and you will see that the user will be able to consume immediately some SQL Server databases as well, because we have assigned that plan to the end user already. But let's have a look now in the SQL database. So this is the WAP SQL database. And you will see now we have a third row with my new user that has been provisioned. So this means that the out-of-the-box Windows Azure Pack authentication process is a .NET repository. So it's saving and maintaining all of those usernames and credentials as well in the database. You can see the hash of the password. So this proves that it's a different set of credentials. But Christopher, can we change this out-of-the-box authentication method? Because to be honest, I don't want to maintain a different set of credentials.
Yeah, sure. So the idea that we will take a look now, so yeah, here you have to maintain it. You have to provision your user manually or let them to sign up. So first of all, we'll speak about a bit about Azure Active Directory. Who already used Azure Active Directory in the room? One, yes, a few person. OK, what is it for? So Windows Azure Active Directory is, in fact, identity and access management in the cloud. It's like having your AD on-premise, but now you will run one AD directly in the cloud in Microsoft Azure over there. It's already used by Office 365, Windows Intune, Windows Azure itself when you authenticate directly in the cloud, so you need to use an account which is stored, in fact, in Windows Azure Active Directory. Also, what's one of the really nice features is that you could create a sync between your on-premise AD and Azure Active Directory. So like this, your user will have true two set of credentials, but it will be the same, it will be synced. So that's really the idea, the concept here that we will use. And of course, thanks to that, you could have a single sign-on experience, and you could use the same credential to authenticate to your application. So here, what is the idea when you are using a third-party provider with WAP? So we've got our application on the right here. So the user will sign in to the application, so we'll connect, so we'll go to portal.mscloudexpert.eu. It will be redirected to the Microsoft Azure AD portal, authentication portal. There you will sign in with your credentials, so with your Azure AD credential, and after that you will have a token. The token, you will receive a token, the token will go to the application that will let you in. So that's really the idea. So the idea is so you are going from your application to the Azure portal for your authentication. After that, you receive your token, and the token is validated by your on-premise application. So that's really the way that you will do it. Now, what about synchronization? So the idea here is really to get the same credential. So for user, you will not ask them to maintain, okay, you have to maintain your Azure credential, but also your on-premise credential. So it's the same problem that when you are using the out-of-the-box authentication. So here, the idea is really to get password also synchronization, but in one way, from on-premise to online. So that's really the idea to have here. So to have one set of credential, same username, same password, but in fact, it's two accounts. How to do that? Microsoft just released 2 days ago, so I have to update my slide. What is called an application, which is called Azure AD Sync Services. So now this tool is available for RTM, so you've got the link, so you'll have the link in the slide. And the idea here, this little application will take care of syncing all your account that you've got on-premise directly with Microsoft Azure Active Directory. New features that are available, now also you've got an option to get a self-service password. So that's a new feature that is available. So it means for the online credential, your user will be able to have a self-service portal when they will be able to reset their account, and you will have a password right back to your on-premise AD. So they will change your password on the cloud, and it will be written also directly in their on-premise AD. So that's really the idea. Also, at the end, you've got a link because to sync user between on-premise and Azure, there is different way to do it. So Azure Active Directory Sync Services is one. You've got also the old application that is called DirSync, so it's still available, but you could also do it with Vim. And you've got a nice link here on the MSDN that will show you what you can do with which application. So now, if we want to bring Azure AD to WAP, so the idea here, so the user will go to his on-premise portal because WAP is hosted on-premise. It will be automatically redirected to Azure Active Directory. Over there, it will use its online credential, and after that, it will be redirected on-premise and will be able to consume all the resources and this application directly. So we'll take a first look to that.
So Chris, if we take a step back, I asked you if it would be possible to use my same credentials to connect to Windows Azure Pack, as I didn't want to have two set of credentials. So what you're going to do now for me is to sync my AD account to Azure Active Directory.
Exactly. So
and then change the authentication process in the Windows Azure Pack to authenticate with the Azure Pack, to Windows Azure, Microsoft Azure Active Directory.
Yeah, that's really the idea. So it will be really a two-step demo. So I will show you how the sync is working between on-premise and Azure Active Directory. For those who never saw what is Azure Active Directory, we'll have a first look directly in Azure to see that. And after that, we'll change the authentication portal in WAP to test the credential and to be able to authenticate directly over there. So that's Windows Azure. So I think that everybody already uses it. Over there, you've got a section called Active Directory. So like you've got on-premise. And as you could see here, I'm running two different directories, so two different Active Directory, but we will focus on this one. And that's really how you could manage directly your identity in the cloud. So from there, from this port, I'm able to create users, I'm able to create groups, I'm able to manage online credentials from my tenant, from my users directly on the cloud. But us, what we want to do is to do what is called directory integration. So you've got an option here that you could say, I want to sync my directory. So I want to sync my user from on-premise to my online AD. So that's really the idea. So first of all, what you have to do, you have to create your Active Directory, you have to activate it. And after that, from the link that are on the slide, you could download for free Azure AD services, directory sync services. What you need to install it. It's an easy setup, it's just a next. And the configuration is also really easy. That's the application. What you need an account that's able to connect on the cloud, so with cloud credential. You need an account which is also able to connect on-premise. As you could see, I already did it, so it's there. And after that, you have to fill in some parameters to do a match between your on-premise user and your user that are stored online. So really, you need to get a match. Out of the box, you've got already some attribute that will do the match for you. And after that, it's just a next setup. You could say, OK, I want to enable the password write-back feature. So that's a feature that I spoke about earlier about how to provide to your user a self-service portal where they will be able to reset the password. So you could enable this feature just by clicking here. And that's it. After that, you just click on Next. Which means, so if we take a look to AD, I've got a few users here. I've got 4 users. I've got different groups and so on. And the idea is really so to have this user directly in Azure. If we go to users, so you could see first here, the last thing ran less than 1 hour ago. If you modify the user, if you create a user directly, it will start a new sync. If you go to user, as you could see, I've got my 4 user, my 5, 6 user here, in fact, but 4 coming from my local AD, and also another one here. So on the right, you could directly see the source where the user are coming from. These users are coming from my on-premise user. This is my on-premise user. But you could also, if you want, create directly online user that will only be available online, of course. But the idea here is to sync. And it's the same also for the groups. So if you've got different groups, you could see, OK, these groups are coming from my local repository. So that's really, really the idea here that we have. So now, I think we go. So we've got a sync. We've got our user, our user are available directly online, so there are an online identity with the same username and the same password. What we have to do, we have to change the portal, the authentication portal in WAP. So it means, no, we don't want to be redirected anymore to the default out-of-the-box authentication portal. We want to be redirected directly to the Azure authentication portal. How to do that? Really easy. So it's just a partial script that we need to run. So it's this one. So what we will do here, so we've got a small script, and we say, OK, as relying party, what we will do, we want to use Microsoft Azure as federation. So we want to create, a trust between our Windows Azure Pack portal, which is running on-premise, and Microsoft Azure. So what we need to do, we just need to run this configuration. OK, so now when my user will be connected to the portal, to the on-premise portal, it will be redirected to the portal from Microsoft Azure. Something else that we need to do also, still on the cloud, we've got another section here which is called Access Control Namespace. So this is a service that will create a relation between an identity provider and between an application here. So what is our identity provider? It's Azure Active Directory. So it's there that you've got your online, where you have your online user. Our application is Windows Azure Pack, which is stored online, which is running on-premise. So what we can do here, we'll sign in again, of course. And as you could see, as identity provider, what I'm using my MS Cloud Azure Active Directory users. So you need really to create an identity provider and an application. So we've got identity provider here, and we've got our application, which is here. So the idea of ECS, it's like having ADFS but online, running directly in the cloud, running directly at Microsoft. So just in a few clicks, you've got, I would say, an online IDFS available directly in the public cloud. So what we did, we configure an identity provider. So we say, OK, I want to consume my user from Azure Active Directory directly. How to do that? You just have to point to do a reference to map this file. So that's federation metadata to your user. And after that, that's it. We say, OK, that's my credential. And which application are able to use it? My MS Cloud WAP portal. How to configure it? We'll see here. What we have here as information, so it means that when my user will authenticate, after that, the token will go through this application. So they will be redirected, and they will be signed in directly to this application. So now we could take a look to this. So we remember what Alex did with the default authentication portal. So we will start again the same one. And you could see now it's not the same. It's not the same anymore. The picture is not exactly the same. And now what we will do, we will use one of our on-premise AD user that has been synced. So in fact, we will use our online identity to log on to on-premise application. So you could see here we are online. So we are not anymore on-premise.
So you're now on Azure.
Exactly. We are not on Azure. Let's try to do this. And you could see Federation is going to access control. So what we saw, so we've got our identity provider, relying party application, and now we are redirected on-premise. So now we run locally. So it's really that's really the idea. So to have ACS over there from some access control services from Azure is to be able to create a link between an identity provider, which could be Azure Active Directory, and your online application, or another online application directly. And you could see, OK, now I'm able to log on to this account. And I could use WAP, exactly. So there you've got a full picture. So you are using your on-premise credential directly sync to Azure AD, and you will use it to Windows Azure Pack. So that's really, really the idea over there.
So Chris, I asked you if it would be possible to have the same set of credentials. You just showed us in a few clicks that you can sync my on-premise user to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. And then the next step in your demo was to change the authentication provider so that when I connect to WAP, the WAP portal
will redirect to online authentication. Yep.
So I can now authenticate with the same credentials, the same passwords.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you another question. Can we do it a step further and use multi-factor authentication?
Exactly. So now the idea is to use multi-factor authentication. So as you will see, we are talking a lot about multi-factor authentication, how to enable it, so what you need and so on, what you need to set up. And Alex will show you how easy it is to set up it directly in Azure. You will see it's just through few steps, a few click, and you are able directly to enable this new authentication process.
Yeah. So now all my users on-premise have been synced to a Microsoft Azure Active Directory. And now I want to enable multi-factor authentication as well. So that's, in a small picture, that's the idea behind it. I have my on-premise, on the left side, I have my on-premise infrastructure, my on-premise domain controllers. And that will be, thanks to the multi-factor authentication process, I will now have a two-factor authentication. So my user will have to connect to the portal, provide his username and password, and then I will have a second authentication method that can be, for example, a text message on my cell phone. It can be an automated phone call, or it can even be a multi-factor authentication app running on iOS, Android, or even Windows Phone as well. You have two billing options in Azure. It's on a per-user basis, or on a per authentication basis as well.
So the idea, yeah, it's really you could select it. OK, I want to have unlimited authentication for my users. Or you could say, OK, I want to buy a bunch of authentication, and any user could use it. So that's really the idea here.
So let's have a look at how this is done.
Directory.
So I have all my users that have been synced to Active Directory, to a Microsoft Azure Active Directory, thanks to Christopher. At the bottom, you see manage multi-factor authentication. You just click on it, and you see that the SCU-001 user that Christopher has used before, that the multi-factor authentication has been or has not yet been enabled. So now with one single click, I can basically enable multi-factor authentication for that user. So the easy thing is in this, in the Azure multi-factor authentication, is that you don't need to maintain on-premise PBX system or on-premise text messaging system. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has taken care of that for you.
For this part, so for an administrator point of view, you just have to do one click. One click, it's enabled, and that's it.
So now multi-factor authentication has been enabled for that that user. And I will now connect.
So now it will connect as a tenant. So it's like everybody from your company, so we'll connect for the first time by using this credential. At Alex, I see you.
Yeah, okay. So because it's the first time that this user has connected to my portal since I have enabled multi-factor authentication, the user cannot go further. He needs to set up a multi-factor authentication first, and he needs to choose the additional security verification method. So he can define a mobile phone, he can define an office phone, or he can define a mobile application. And then he can choose if Azure needs to call him, or if Azure needs to send him a text message. Now, we're not going to do that for this user, as we already did it for another user, for SCU-002. And this user has chosen to use the callback feature in the multi-factor authentication process. So if the sound is going to work, you will have a call back. Let's have a look.
And you could see there is a phone number just below the number, so it will it will call this user to.
So now Azure is calling me.
Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system. Please press the pound key to finish your verification. If you did not initiate this verification, someone may be trying to access your account. Please press £0 to submit. You have been signed in. Goodbye.
And you see, automatically you are redirected.
So in a few clicks, we have enabled multi-factor authentication without having to invest heavily in PBX hardware, in a text messaging hardware, and so on.
So that's really an easy way for administrators that don't want to maintain this kind of infrastructure to just enable it in a few clicks. And after that, the last step will be done by the end user. So the end user will have to set up it. Yes, question?
Mm-hmm.
No, there is a way to clip it on the top. I think normally on the top here, we could take a look. So the question is, do I have to click enable everywhere? Normally you could here and you could manage your user settings to update. You click on manage and you could enable it for all your user directly. So you will be redirected to another interface when you will be able to manage that settings. So that's really an easy way to use it, an easy way to use one of great Windows Azure feature. But no, what about the fact of you don't want to go online? So you don't want to sync your user with Azure Active Directory. So you say, OK, no, in my company, I cannot do that. In my company, I have to run everything on premise. I cannot connect online. I don't want to have my user available online. Solution is called ADFS. So everybody already know what's ADFS already used? Yeah, a few people. OK, perfect. So we are here. So what we already did, so we already did, we already used the .NET repository, so on-premise. We already did the Azure AD synchronization and multi-factor. So now what we are going to do, we are see a way how you could use directly your on-premise AD credential by using ADFS. So really the idea is to go ADFS, WAP, your on-premise user directly. So we'll not have any online connection and no sync process because you are using directly your own AD as identity provider.
So Chris, if I have already an ADFS installed on-premise, I can still use my Active Directory credentials to connect to my Windows Azure Packer portal without having to maintain two set of credentials like we've seen in the first demo.
So exactly, as the goal of ADFS is to federate identity management between Sprossner, between identity provider and application. So like we did it with ACS, so Azure ACS, the idea is to use on-premise AD as identity provider and WAP as our application. So that's really the idea here. And of course, if you are an Oster service provider, you could trust different identity provider, different ADFS also, to let them in your own application by using their own credential directly to the application that you will run in on your data center. So that's really the idea. It's still claim-based, so it's still like ACS that we used before. And we've got two kind of authentication process over here, form-based, or directly integrated with Windows. So now, if you want to create a relation between ADFS and the Windows Azure Pack, what you will do, the user will connect on-premise on the portal, so portal.mscloudexpert.eu. They will be automatically redirected through the ADFS portal, which is running on-premise, so not anymore in Azure, no internet connection needed, so everything is running locally. They will have to use their credential. Which one? The one coming from your on-premise AD. So because we'll use on-premise AD as identity federation, so as identity provider over there. They will be afterwards redirected directly through your portal. So you will see how it's really easy to set up ADFS to put that in place. So to install ADFS, it was really, really easy. It's just a next setup, so it's part of the feature that you are available, so we just had a role, and you do the setup next. That's really easy. And after that, we have the same kind of menu that we saw earlier in ACS. We've got claim provider, which are, in fact, the identity provider, and we've got the relying party. So the concept and the ID is really the same that we have here, identity provider, relying party application. So it's really the same ID that you have here. And as you could see, out of the box, what do we have? We've got Active Directory, which is already available as identity provider. So you don't have to do anything. You will be already able to consume your on-premise user. So that's really the ID. You have nothing to do. My user are already available here, and I will be able to consume it. What you have to do, relying party, you have to say, okay, I want to, my portal, my WAP portal, will be my application that will consume this credential. So if we go properties, and you will see that's the redirection. After that, when the portal, when the tenant has been authenticated, it will be redirected directly through my ADFS, through my WAP application. So that's really the ID. As we could take also a look, I said it's claim-based, so you will receive a claim, and that will use this information for your user authentication. We could also edit it. Out of the box, we receive also directly when you authenticate, we receive SID, different SID, but the UPN also. That's what it's used in Windows Azure Pack to authenticate your user. So it will be directly the UPN that we'll use. But also the group information. That could be nice when you want to share a subscription. So we'll take a look to this in a few minutes. OK, so ADFS, just next. Out of the box, Active Directory is set up, nothing to do. We just need to add the relying party application, so our WAP portal. So we just click here and we add it. That's it. What still that we still need to do, we need to change the authentication portal in WAP. So previously, WAP was redirected directly to on-premise WAP authentication portal. After that, what we did, we create a redirection to the Microsoft Azure authentication portal. And now what we'll do, we'll create a redirection directly through ADFS. So we'll create a trust relationship. What we have to do for this, exactly what we did before, is the same partial command, but now we will use our federation or ADFS metadata file. So that's my ADFS server. So we just do copy paste.
So Christopher, so now you're going to change the authentication provider from the Azure ACS to point basically now to our on-premise.
Exactly, to on-premise, which means that you don't need internet connection, you don't need to maintain an extra set of credential, you've got only one set of credential, nothing is going online, everything stays in your company. Let's try my copy paste. Okay. Okay, as you could see, that's set up. That's work. So now we've got, so when we will try to connect to portal.ms cloud export, we'll be redirected directly through ADFS portal. So you could see we will use, now we've got different user, we will use this one. So SCU003, let's go. Portal, and you will see the redirection will start soon. Oh, and now we have been redirected directly through our ADFS portal. Of course, what you could do also with ADFS, you could customize it. So like to put a logo, a nice background picture from your application, from your company directly over there. So that's customization that you could do quite easily. What we have to do now, we want to use our on-premise credential directly, so through a connection directly to our own ADS identity provider. So we are still on ADFS, we will receive a claim, a token, and we will be, the token will be validated by your application, so by WAP, in fact. So as you could see here in WAP, the concept is to use some subscription. So you will receive a subscription from which you will be able to consume resources. So you will be able to consume VM, you will be able to consume SQL DB, or MySQL also, website, and so on. So that's the idea. You've got one user and a subscription. So your user is subscribing directly to an offer, to a plan that we'll be able to use. And we will see what we can do if you want to share a plan, because maybe in your IT department, you want to share a plan, so you create a VM and you want that your colleagues are also able to manage this VM, to delete it, to create it, to stop it, and so on. So we'll see what we can do for this. So I'm a new user here. I need a plan. I've got nothing. I've got no subscription, so I will click here. I've got a SQL plan. I say OK. And now you will see I will be able to consume SQL resources. What I can do, I will create a new DB. SCU, I need to create a user, SCU user.
So Chris, you have just created a new database now with your credentials, but what if I connect to the portal?
So if you connect right now to the portal with your own credential, as we are not sharing anything between together, we are not sharing any subscription, you will see nothing. You will just have access to your portal with your all resources that you could consume, but you will not see this DB. So that's really the idea here. What we want to do, we want to share the subscription, we want to share our resources between different persons. And for that, what we will do, we'll use groups, AD groups. That's nice, because we've got already ADFS running with ADS identity provider. So all that we have to do, make sure first, we created a group, which is called SCU group. We've got nobody in it. We will add SCU003, which is the current user that I'm using. We will use also SCU004. Okay, so we've got two users in the group. What we still have to do, go here. In my account, I've got administrators. So I say, OK, currently, I don't have any co-administrators. So now I could say, yes, I want my colleague, Alex, directly to be able to manage my subscription, so to create VM on my subscription, on my plan, to manage it. Or you could also say, yes, I want to share a subscription, but with all my team, with my department, so with a group. We could do this just by giving the name. I will select the subscription, so I will just double check the name. So yes, SCU group, that's it. MS Cloud Explorer SCU group, okay. And this group will be able, so everybody that is part of this group will be able to consume my subscription, so to create SQL DB on my subscription to manage the DB that I already created. Just click on next here. And that's thanks to the ADFS application that we have in the identity provider. We say in the claim, we say, OK, provide also the group information. So when you will authenticate with your user, Azure Pack, Windows Azure Pack, will also receive the group information. And based on that, it will be able to take a look, OK, are you a co-administrator? Yes or no. Are you co-administrate another subscription? Yes or no. So that's the idea. And now, so I created already a DB, and there is a group which is co-administrator. So the idea is to close this, start it again. Still redirected to ADFS directly. And now I will use my new user. This user never logged on Windows Azure Pack. So it's a brand new user. So you will see ADFS authentication is working. We will be redirected to the application. You will see that it's a brand new user, so we'll have the welcome splash, the welcome screen that will pop up directly. Okay, I'm a new user, I never use WAP. Okay, cool. But you see, I've got already my subscription, and I could see the DB that has been created by my colleague. So it means that thanks to ADFS, the group claim which is going on when that is passing directly to WAP when you authenticate, you are able to share authentication. So the idea here is maybe for your DBA in your company. Yes, I want to let my DBA or my owner or my tenant or my other department to create DB, and I want to let them to share it, to manage it. Okay? How? Through ADFS and classic, I would say, AD group management. So it's just group-based. And there you could say, okay, this person has the right to manage the DB to create, and it's the same for VM. So you've got a group of developers, for example, that need to create VM in a specific cloud. You could say, OK, thanks to ADFS and the AD group management, I could let this 10 person create VMs directly to the same cloud. And you don't need to create one subscription per person like this. So it's really easy to manage. So what we did now, so that was, so the idea, what we had, we have WAP as application, so as a relying application. We've got ADFS, and at the other end, we've got AD as identity provider. We said earlier that, thanks to ADFS, we could also trust other ADFS server, ADFS infrastructure, and use external identity providers.
Yeah, so if we take a small summary before we continue, we have seen the out-of-the-box authentication process, the first demo. I then asked Christopher if I could maintain the same set of credentials, and he told me yes, to sync, and he did that by syncing my on-premise user account to Active Directory. Then I asked him if it would be possible to use multi-factor authentication. He told me yes again. Mm-hmm. And Skype and Azure called my Skype number. And then we used the on-premise ADFS to connect to my Active Directory as an identity provider. Mm-hmm. But now I would like to use a third-party identity provider, like, for example, Facebook or Google or even my Twitter account. So it's basically the same process, also based on claims. And you can use different ways, basically. So your on-premise ADFS can trust an external ADFS. So if you have an ADFS on-premise, you could trust the ADFS installed in your customer environment, for example, as well.
So it means that they will be able to use their own credential to your application.
Yes, that's correct, Christopher. So if I am a service provider, mm-hmm. and I have a data center, and I installed the web tenant portal, and my tenant or my customer has an ADFS installed in his environment with his credentials, with his password, he can consume virtual machines or SQL databases from me as a service provider.
Directly with their own credentials. So it means that these partners could manage their own credentials. They could disable users directly. They don't have to go to the hosters to say, OK, could you disable this user? Could you manage it? So they could manage it directly on-premise to their own infrastructure.
Yes. But you can also use another identity provider, like, for example, Azure Active Directory, Google, MS Live, Facebook, and so on. So this means that my on-premise ADFS, instead of trusting my customer ADFS, it will now trust basically the Azure Access Control Service, and ACS will then use my Facebook account, for example, or my users that are in my Azure Active Directory.
So that's really the idea. So now we will go to from WAP, we will go to ADFS. From ADFS, we'll go to Azure Access Control Services, and ACS will use Azure AD or Facebook or Google as identity provider. So, and after that, we'll go all the way around.
So this is my on-premise ADFS, and I will now trust the Azure Access Control Service by just enabling it. So now my on-premise ADFS is trusting my Azure ACS.
So it means that if you go to Azure ACS, you also need to configure an identity provider. So if you could, yeah.
So this is my online public Windows Microsoft Azure ACS. And you see I have my MS Cloud, my on-premise basically,
Your online user.
Yes, my Azure Active Directory. And I will now as well use a relying part,
identity provider. Now the idea is to use another external identity provider.
So I'm going from my on-premise ADFS to Azure ACS. In Azure ACS, I can use my Azure Active Directory as an identity provider, or I can use as well another identity provider, like for example, Facebook.
So it means that here online in ACS, you could use whatever you want as identity provider. It could be Facebook. We are agreeing in enterprise will not use Facebook, but it's just the example here. So you could use whatever you want. So if you've got an identity provider somewhere using an icon that already exists, you could add it directly through here with a really easy setup with a few settings. So here what you see, we receive an ID that's directly from Facebook, so that's available. That's this information are coming from your identity provider itself, so there is an easy way to configure it through ACS.
Yeah. So just in a few clicks, you can configure Facebook as your Azure identity provider. We will now connect as a tenant to the tenant portal and use my Facebook credentials.
So yes, you have to do an IP in private stuff. So here, what we are doing, we are always opening Internet Explorer, closing it. What? Because we are playing with a lot of credential. There is the cache, and with the cache times to time, you've got redirection. So here, the idea, what you can see, we are still running on our on-premise ADFS authentication portal. So we are still on-premise here, but now we've got different options. As you could see, we could use. First of all, we were able to use our on-premise user credential, or here, that's the identity provider coming from the cloud.
But now, instead of using my Azure Active Directory account, I'm going to connect it to my Facebook account.
You are redirected directly through Facebook now. So we go through ADFS, ACS, and now we are on the Facebook authentication portal. And now we'll go the way around. So we'll go through Facebook, through ACS, ACS through ADFS, ADFS through WAP portal.
So now I've used my on-premise ADFS to connect to Azure ACS, to trust Azure ACS, and Azure ACS has used another identity provider, being Facebook.
So that's really the idea here. So through ADFS, you could trust another ADFS, you could trust online Microsoft ACS, and from there, you could trust any identity provider that you want. So it means that basically with WAP, you could use whatever you want as identity provider. What we could take a look also, let's take a look here. So if you want to use, for example, Facebook as identity provider, you need what they call a developer account. So what you need to do, you just need to go to developers.facebook.com. That's just for the example. And there you could, of course, you have to log in. Okay, of course, I've been redirected to the wrong one. Okay, let's go back here. And what you need to create an app. So you could change your account, your Facebook account for free, and you could create an application. And as you could see, I receive an application ID. This application ID is what I will use. Let me do some cleanup here. It's what I will use here. So in my ACS, I'm doing a reference. I'm pointing to, okay, the application from Facebook, and of course the same for the secret connection. So that's how you could create easily an application so in Facebook to use as identity provider. So what we did here, so the idea of Facebook is just really to show you that you could use whatever you want as identity provider. I hope that nobody will do that in production, but we don't ever know. Okay, so to give an end to this session, so here really the idea is WAP is really flexible. So WAP is what? It's only an application. An application with a lot of capabilities, a lot of function that you could consume a lot of different resources, but it will do, WAP let you do what you want for the authentication. So it will let you select what you want to use, your on-premise ID, online credential, third-party provider. One of our recommendations is when you are using WAP, of course, when you just finish your deployment, not use the out-of-the-box process. ADFS, what you need, even if you have got no knowledge in ADFS to do it, it's 20 minutes. You don't need more. Just a setup, next. On-premise AD is already there, available as identity provider. You just need to trust your application and run the small PowerShell command. That's it. So it's really easy to do. Otherwise, you could also use, of course, online identity if your company is already using it, like with Office 365. You could use the same credential directly over there. And if you could, multi-factor authentication. If you don't want to put that in place in your company, you don't want to set up an SMS platform, you don't want to set up PBX and whatever, and you don't want to maintain it, of course, just go to Azure. Quite easy, one click, and after that, as admin, that's all that you need to do. Your end user will have to do the rest. And all what we show you today, you could test it for free. So you could test this, I will not say for free. The real world is at no additional cost. So what you have to do, you could subscribe to Azure, so you could receive a 3-month subscription for free. And for this, you will receive each month €150 that we could be able to consume to any resources that you want in Azure. So we'll be able to create VM, website, whatever. So for 3 months for free, you could use €150. For WAP, there is the link over here. So WAP is also coming at no additional cost. All that you need to run Windows Server 2012, and you need SQL DB. And of course, if you want to consume resources like VM, VMM, and so on. So it's what they say, no additional cost. I want to thank you for your time, for being here for the first session of the day. Don't forget, for every feedback that you will give, SEU will donate. So that's really, really important for us. Last but not least, I will let Alex speak about that.
Yeah, so we have some other sessions this week. For example, tomorrow we have the System Center PowerShell Deployment Toolkit. Today, not at 9:15, because that's now. We also have the Power BI session at 12 o'clock, together with Kurt van Hoeken. So if you want to know more about dashboards and Power BI with System Center, come and see that session. It will be in the same room as here.
But today at 12.
Today at 12.
So there is a problem. And you will show us again together on stage for, if you could go back. For the deployment system center environment. So there we will show you how to deploy quickly a new lab environment using PDT, PowerShell command, so you will see that. We still have 5 minutes, so if you have any question, you could start. No question? Okay. Yeah, oh, sorry, I've got the light.
If you are using, it doesn't work.
Am I? Okay, you could. It's for the recording, so you could use it.
Yeah, If you are using federation services for a trust from your local Active Directory to Azure, you have this token and encryption certificates that are valid for only 1 year. And they have to be renewed, and there is a process. It's in an early stage. It's a script where you have to specify the password of the Azure Manager account. And if you change that, the script won't run anymore for this automatic certification renewal. Has there been any change in that? Is this easier, or how do you handle this?
Right now, I think it's still the same idea. Right now, you cannot change it. There is no easy way to change it. No, to be honest, right now, I don't see any other way to do it easily to change it. You have to do that. So. Another question? Okay, so I would like to thank you for your time, and I hope that you enjoyed this session. Don't forget to do the evaluation, and see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.